Well, along those lines this morning, I just wanted to bring a lesson to encourage us to continue to be involved in the efforts of evangelism and reaching out to others and talking to others about the gospel. And so open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see an unlikely evangelist in this particular text, but an effective one nonetheless. When Jesus and his disciples were walking one day, they came across a man who was born blind from birth. And that's what this chapter is about. This man and his journey of faith toward Christ and the things that he had to endure in order to overcome some of the prejudices against Jesus in his particular day and time, but ultimately understanding who Jesus was and the power that he had so as he placed his faith in him. But look at chapter 9 starting in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And so the purpose of this man's being born blind didn't have anything to do with sin, as the common notion was in that particular day and time, and as sometimes we buy into today as well. We tend to think that if there's a bad situation or there's something bad going on or maybe somebody has a malformation in their body or if there's something wrong with them, the first thing we want to say is, well, look at what somebody must have done something wrong for that to take place or that to happen, you know. And that's the same attitude that they had here. And they asked Jesus, well, who was it? Was it him or was it his parents? They didn't even give thought to maybe the idea that there was some other purpose in mind here that Jesus wanted them to consider. And so Jesus says, no, it wasn't anything that anybody did wrong that this man was born blind, but rather that the works of God should be revealed in him. And so Jesus was a master teacher, he was a master evangelist in and of himself, and he used every opportunity that he had in order to evangelize others and in order to get the message of faith across to others. And that's what he did here. He used this situation in order to engender faith in this man's life and in the lives of those who are around him. And so let's study this account together as we think about what Jesus does for us in providing for our salvation. And this lesson is entitled simply this: to the blind, he gives sight. And oh, is that true? To the blind, he gives sight. And there are so many who are spiritually blind today who need to see. And Jesus took the opportunity of using this physically blind man then to show how spiritually blind people need to see as well. So let's look at this story and learn what Jesus wants us to learn from it. First of all, to the blind he gives sight because there is a need. The blind need to see. Look at verses 6 and 7 here of John 9. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with saliva and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So this man who was blind, Jesus made some clay. He put it on this man's eyes and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, he washed in that pool, and when he had washed, he came back and he had his sight restored to him. This man was blind, but he needed to see. And so Jesus did for him what he needed to do in order for this man to see. You know, the blind need to see today as well. And I'm not talking about the physically blind now, but the spiritually blind. There are those who have been blinded by sin and Satan, and they walk in darkness all day long. In Zephaniah 1 and verse 17 we read, "And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung." Do you ever meet somebody who's so blinded by their sin that they don't know how to walk through life? And the simplest things, maybe to you, are very difficult to them because sin has blinded their life. And so we want the gospel to come into people's lives so that their lives can be freed from sin, and so that they can see what's going on around them in a spiritual way and order their lives aright before God and before Christ. This was the work of Jesus as prophesied in Isaiah 42 and verses 5 through 7. "Thus says God, the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, He gives breath unto people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." And so that was part of the work of the Messiah, you see, to open the blind eyes. And He did that work both physically and spiritually. And this prophecy is quoted in Luke 2 and verse 32, Acts 13, 47, and Acts 26, 23, in regard to the work of Christ to bring sight to the blind. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. And those who are blind today may see through Him and His power. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8 and verse 12. Are you someone who needs to see today? Jesus gives sight. Let's turn to Him. To the blind He gives sight because there is a need. A need for the blind to see. But to the blind He gives sight because there is a name. And that is the name of Jesus. Only Jesus has the authority to heal the blind of their blindness. Look at John 9 and verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And then He says this, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is that light. He's the name. He's the authority who can heal the blind of their blindness. Jesus came to work the works of God, and He did that to show His authority over all things. And that power that He demonstrated within His life is also available for us on a spiritual level. He demonstrated that power physically so that we would know spiritually He has the same power, that He has the same authority, and that if we put our faith and trust in Him, that He will indeed heal us of our spiritual blindness. He is the one true light of the world. "Wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things that are in heaven and things that are on earth and things that are under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. You see, we need to confess now so that we can be saved and we can see. Because one day we're going to see. But if we haven't confessed now, it will be too late. And we will confess the name of Jesus at that moment. but it will be too late because we have made our choices while we're on the earth. And so we need to confess now while the power of Jesus is there to save us from our spiritual blindness. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. And in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Jesus has that authority. He has the power. He has the right to forgive us of our sins and save us. Yes, to the blind He gives sight. And it is Jesus who heals us from our blindness. But to the blind He gives sight because there is a notion that the blind will tell the work of God to others. Now this blind man, when he was healed here in John 9, he started talking to his friends and his neighbors about being healed. Look at what we see here in verse 8 and following. "Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is this not he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' And he answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I don't know.' Well, then they took him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees questioned him over and over again. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he kept talking about Jesus. He kept talking about this man who had healed him of his blindness. And the more he talked about it, the more people gathered around him, the more wanted to hear the story. Oh, what motivation it is to be healed by Jesus and then to tell others of the wonderful work of Christ within our life. We need to share the story of Jesus with others. You see, if you've been blind and now you see, you want to tell others about that. It's not like, "Oh, well, you know, no big deal. I got healed of my blindness." No, when you're healed of something like that, you want to share. It's great news. It's fantastic news. And you want to tell the whole world about this wonderful news. That's how the Apostle Paul felt. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, he said, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" God has commanded us to go out and tell others about Jesus, but we should want to tell others because of the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us within our life. Are we self-satisfied? Do we think that we're the ones who've provided for ourselves and given us all the things that we have in this world today? So many times, that's what's competing with Jesus. But you see, it's really He who has given you all these things. He is the one who has provided for these things for you. Would you take credit for that which Jesus has done? Oh, how proud and arrogant we are sometimes to think that our own hands have lifted us up and given us the things that we have. Don't you know that God can take them away just like that? No, it's not us who have done those things, but Jesus Christ. And we need to be about the business of praising Him for the wonderful works that He has done within our lives. And so those who have been healed of their blindness have a notion. They want to tell others about Jesus. A notion that we need to share. Consider John 1 and verses 9 through 13 when John says, "That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, you see. And the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's where the credit needs to go. That's where we need to be talking to others about the wonderful works of God. Not the things that we have done, not the good works that we do, but the things that God does in us. That's where the credit needs to go, to Jesus and the work that He has done within our life. He is the light of men that shines in the darkness. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And so we need to be lifting Him up. Yes, this blind man went about telling others about Jesus. Why? Because he knew it was not through his own power and strength that he had been healed of his blindness, but that another had done it. Jesus had done it. And when we give God the credit and the glory that is due to Him, then others are going to want to know about Jesus working in our lives as well. And that gives us an opportunity, you see, to tell them about Jesus Christ. Do you want to tell others about what Christ has done for you and how He has helped you? I hope you do. Number 4, to the blind He gives sight because there is a nation. There's a great nation to whom this blind man has allied himself. You see, the blind now want to see and believe and worship God. Look at verses 35 through 38 here in John chapter 9. 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Oh, he worshiped Jesus, you see, because Jesus was worthy of his worship and worthy of his praise and worthy of his faith for what Jesus had done for him. And we need to worship Jesus as well and to think about the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us in believing in him and praising him and worshiping him every moment of the day. Those who have accepted Christ within their life were formerly blind, but now they see and they believe and worship Jesus also. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Why? "That you should show forth the praises of Him who has," listen to it, "called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." We should want to praise God for what He has done for us. Calling us out of darkness and into light. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. We need to reflect upon it more often than we do. He's delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1 and verse 13. And Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, "I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And Peter then received those keys. He opened the doors to the kingdom, and those who were called out of darkness into light and were healed of blindness by Jesus walked through those doors and entered into the God's kingdom. And we have done the very thing today. And we need to be looking at things with spiritual sight, not with carnal sight, but with the spiritual eyes of Jesus Christ and the wonders that He's performed for us today in ushering us into this great kingdom. Do you realize what a blessing it is to be in the kingdom of God? Do you realize what a wonderful thing it is to be part of the body of Jesus Christ and to be among a people of God who love each other and want to help each other go to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And with spiritual eyes, John opens for us the vision of that great kingdom in the book of Revelation, and he's bringing it down out of heaven. It's this glorious city of which we can all be a part, and it's shining with pearls and gold and jewels, and it's a wonderful city that God has built. And we look for that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. That's the city of which we are a part today in the church of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, it's not for the future, it's for now. For all Christians who would see things as God sees them today. And that's the nation of which we are a part. It transcends this carnal, earthly, physical nation that we participate in here today in a carnal way, and it is so much more glorious and beautiful than what we have before us in the world today. Can anyone even doubt that with the politics going on in our country right now? This is where God is glorified today. Not in the world, not in the carnal desires of the world, not in the things that the world lusts after on a daily basis. No, it's not in those things. It's in the church. And until we begin to realize that the church is the highest institution that God has made, and that's what He's working for each and every day, and that everything, all of His desires, all of God's hopes and dreams, all of God's plans, all of God's effort and power and authority go into that marvelous body which is the bride of Christ, until we realize that, we are not going to be the people that God wants us to be. The church of Christ, unto Him be the glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. Is your fellowship with the church of God today, with the church of Jesus Christ, with His wonderful, beautiful bride, with that great city that's coming down out of heaven, glorious in what it is that where your allegiance is? To the blind He gives sight, because there is a great nation in which to participate. And to the blind He gives sight, because there is coming a darkness, a night that is going to consume all other nights. A blindness that's going to consume all other blindnesses. And when it comes, there ain't nothing that's going to be done about it at that point. Listen to what Jesus says here in John chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. The night is coming when no one can work. Look at verses 39 through 41 of the same chapter, and you see this eternal night bearing down upon these wicked individuals who are refusing to receive the sight that Jesus Christ offers. Notice what it says. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words and said to Him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." Oh, the wicked pride and arrogance that wells up within humanity so as to reject the only begotten Son of God and say, "We see. We have no need for your gospel. We have no need for your mercy or grace. We see. We're the ones who know. We're the ones who understand." Arrogantly shouting forth those words Oh, what a sad, sad state of those who will not humble themselves before God and give their lives to Him. Jesus spoke of an eternal night that's coming. And there will be no more work for Him in that night, because those who enter that night have made their choice not to see. He came to judge them, that they which see may not see, and that they which see may be blind. These are the blind who lead the blind, Jesus called them in Matthew 15 and verse 14. And He says, if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. They claim to see, but the truth is, they are blind. Matthew 13 and verse 15 says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Yes, that kind of person is going to be lost, because the only thing that he cares about is his own pride, his own desires, his own wickedness, his own sense of self. Living life for self and for no one else. It's all about me, you see, is what he says. And because of that, he's blind. These will end up in a place of utter darkness where there shall no longer be any more sight. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 and verse 30. These are wells without water. That is, they're empty, they're dry, they have no substance to them. They are clouds that are carried by the tempest. They have no, these clouds, they have no bearing, they have no place to go, they have no purpose. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Eternal darkness. Have you ever been in a dark place? We had the lights turned out on us one time in a cave, unexpectedly, and we stopped in our tracks. We could do nothing. We could go nowhere. We could fulfill no purpose because we could not see. And just think that that is awaiting for those who will not accept Jesus. That kind of eternity is left for them. To the blind, He gives sight now. Because there is coming an eternal night. Oh, that we would lift our hearts up to Jesus and the healing that He gives, so that we might have the salvation that He provides. Not that this world offers. Not all of the trappings and amusements and cares and concerns that surround us on a daily basis. So many of us pursue those things thinking, well, you know, this is for me and for my family, and this is good, and you know, I can be entertained. You're just playing with baubles. You're just playing with little trinkets. You know, the little toys that they give away at McDonald's that the kids are so enthralled by for about 5 minutes, and then what happens to them? They go in the trash. Just trinkets. Everything that we toy with in this life is just a free McDonald's toy that we'll be playing with for a few minutes, and it will go into the trash. And then where will we be? Left wanting another bauble or trinket that we can't have anymore. Why not put our eternal estate in the treasures that are in heaven, instead of these carnal things that are upon the earth, and receive the sight that Jesus gives? He gives sight to the blind. Why not remove your blindness this morning? Come to Him in faith. Trust in Him. Let Him guide your life. Be obedient to His will. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as your Lord. Stop playing with the trinkets and baubles of the earth. And put Him first in everything that you do. And if you're not a Christian, identify with Jesus this morning by being baptized into a watery grave of baptism, thus declaring His death, burial, and resurrection, and become a child of God. Put on Christ and start engaging in what is really real today. Because none of those other things mean anything without Jesus. And why not give your life to Him this morning while we stand and sing?